Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, How to Close Like a Rockstar. My name is Eliana Raggio and I'll be your moderator today. And today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, well, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service, Dealer On is still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Yeah, I didn't think so. So maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. By the way, I am going to be emceeing the upcoming Women in Automotive Conference. This unique event is June 26th through the 28th in Orlando, Florida, and it's going to be focused on aiding and empowering the women in our industry to improve their skills, advance their careers, and find the highest level of success in a male-dominated industry. So if you want to make your way to Orlando in a couple weeks, well, I'd love to see you. To find out more about the Women in Automotive Conference, please visit womeninautomotive.com, or you can check out hashtag WomenInAuto16. We hope to see you there. And we have an awesome show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have Mike Davenport as our presenter today. Mike, the Louisville Chevy dude, Davenport, is a self-proclaimed Chevy enthusiast. Not only is he the leading salesman for Bachmann Chevrolet, he's also a top performer of new Chevrolet sales in the country and one of the 40 highest-rated salesmen on DealerRater.com. A 16-year veteran in the auto industry, he's held numerous dealership management positions such as sales, F&I, new car manager, used car manager, and GSM. However, Mike's meteoric rise in sales didn't start until 2010, when he bravely decided to leave the management sector of the car business to start from scratch as a salesperson in a new town at a new dealership, where he could focus his branding efforts on himself and provide an excellent example for other salespeople. He owns several domain names, maintains a very successful YouTube channel with almost 3 million views, runs very aggressive social media campaigns, and his social media presence proves he's a leader in the industry for all sales professionals and managers. Mike Davenport is the epitome of a rock star salesperson, a very active member of the automotive community, and he can be reached at mike@chevydude.com. And Mike Davenport is going to be presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Conference on August 8th through the 10th in Vegas, baby. He'll be discussing personal branding, and he'll do a second session alongside Amy Banner about converting Facebook fans into revenue. For more information, you can check out digitaldealer.com. We'll see you there, too. During the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Also, don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friend Mike Davenport and his buddies over at Auto Alert are going to be giving away an awesome prize today on the webinar. Two of you lucky webinar attendees will win the exact same red carpet that Mike uses on his deliveries. You will literally be able to now give your customers the red carpet treatment. This is totally legit. This sweet, sweet prize is valued at $80, but the reaction from your customers will be priceless. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned. You could be one of those people winning this amazing prize today. Also, at the conclusion of the webinar, you're going to receive a short survey, so fill it out because we're always looking for great feedback from our audience, so let your opinion be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Mike Davenport at Elville Chevy Dude. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn how to close like a rock star. Mike Davenport, how the heck are you, my friend?
I am doing excellent. How are you today?
I'm great. Are you kidding? You have quickly become one of my absolute favorite people to webinar with. And that is saying a lot because, you know, I've webinared with the best of the best. So I count you among those. Thank you so much for being here today. And thank you so much for this great presentation. How to close like a rock star? I know you have a lot to get to. Where do we begin?
Well, I think we need to begin on some of my objectives of what I want to talk about today. in order to close more deals, make more money, you know, stuff. So I'm going to kind of empower yourself with a little bit of knowledge, how to set up that close right from the start. And when I say right from the start, I mean, you don't even have the customer's name yet. That's how close to the start I'm talking about. Kind of show you hopefully a few new closes. I talk about closing a lot throughout the automotive community. You said that in the beginning credits as far as how involved I am. So a few people may not see these as new closes, but hopefully there's some people out there like, oh, wow, I like how he did that or I like how I do this, whatever the case may be. But I talk about closing a lot, and that's why we're doing this webinar, because really it comes down to us closing deals in order to, you know, provide for our family. So going to show you how to hold more gross, sell more vehicles. We got a giveaway at the end, and then our awesome question and answer session that seems to be pretty sweet. But I'm going to start out first with our first poll question, which is pretty quick into this, because I got a reason I'm asking this question.
I agree with you. Audience, you know what? We only have two poll questions today because we have a lot of information to get to. But the first one's on the screen now. We want to know, what's your job inside your dealership? Please select one of the following. Are you in sales? Are you in management? Are you in BDC? Are you the closer at the dealership? Or you don't work for a dealership? Hey, you know what? That's fine, too. We get people not only from all over the world, but also from outside of the auto industry as well, who come to our webinars every week. And for this one, I can see a lot of people coming who have nothing to do with the auto industry. So that's fine, too. We want to know, what's your job inside the dealership? Once they get a majority of the votes in, we'll close the poll and share the results. We're almost there. Everyone, thank you so much for your votes. We'll wait a few more seconds. What's your job inside the dealership? Sales, management, BDC, closer, or you know what? I'm not in the auto industry. I don't work for a dealership. Hey, that's fine, too. All right, here we go. Wowza. Wait till you see this. All right, are you ready?
Let's go.
Here we go. Let's close this poll and share the results. All right, 52% of today's audience, the majority, of course, so that's more than half, say their job inside the dealership is sales. 28% say they're in management. 9% say they are in BDC. 2% of today's audience say that they are the closers. And 10% of today's audience say that they don't even work for a dealership. Does that help you out?
Yeah, that's sweet. What's the percentage of not in a dealership?
10%. That's actually quite a lot.
10%. Sweet. Yeah, it is. That's good. That's awesome. I knew I had several people saying, hey, you know, you're talking about closing. I don't work in a dealership. Will this work for me? And I said, absolutely. What I do, you know, I mean, I'm passionate about selling cars. I love selling cars. I love helping people buy cars. But anything that I do, I think I could go be a realtor. I think I could go sell roofs. I think I could go sell waterproofing, you know, basement waterproofing, anything out there that people sell. I think I could do it with some of the stuff that I talk about. But here's the trick, and you worded it just a little bit wrong, but that's okay. My goal is you got to look at yourself as a closer, regardless of what you do. The 52% of the people says that they're in sales. Take that mindset and change it to that you're a closer, because that is our number one goal. There we go. So, and I like this definition of amateur. So it's one lacking in experience and competence in an art or a science. And then the simple definition of it is a person who does something poorly, a person who is not skillful at a job or other activity. So my goal at the end of this demo, or at the end of this webinar, is I don't want you to think of yourself as an amateur. I want you to think of yourself as a professional. I want you to be a closer and go in every day thinking that, hey, I'm a closer and I want to do it. How you become a closer right from the get-go. Remember I said I'm going to show you how to be a closer. Set up the close before they even know their name. And it really comes from the ZMOT, the Zero Movement of Truth. We all know it's not anything crazy. And outside of, you know, you're a door-to-door salesman, all this stuff really goes into play. If you're a realtor or anything like that, this all goes into play. 95% of shopping starts online. And most of that is coming from mobile use, so keep that in mind as well. As far as the auto industry, customers are calling or form filling out 6 vehicles before they decide to even leave their house, their office, get off their phone, whatever the case may be. And subsequently, subconsciously, they're ruling out 80% of the vehicles they see on the dealership's websites, cars.com, CarGuru, TrueCar, AutoTrader, stuff like that, and they're only visiting 1.2 dealerships. Now, this is a huge thing. This is mind-boggling. I was a digital dealer 20, and this came up, and I was also heard at NADA from a couple other people, and I believe it's an NADA stat, but customers are now driving an average of 42 miles to buy a car, and that's coming up from 6 miles. So that tells you over the years that customers are more smart. They have more information to their fingertips, and literally their fingertips, because they're all doing it in mobile. And in a different webinar, I do a lot of social media stuff. I do not push social media to desktop devices. If I'm paying money on social media, I'm doing it to mobile devices. Less than 1% of people are touching desktops. Customers, another huge thing. Customers pass 50 dealerships to come to your dealership. You know, just think of it. You know, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, 1.2 mil people in the metro area. If you have to drive a half an hour in the metro area, how many dealerships are you passing? And on average, it's 50%. And for the BDC people that were in here, the fastest salesperson to make contact has a 238% better chance of starting an appointment than the second one. So keep that in mind. And that time frame, by the way, is less than 5 minutes. If you can contact that customer within less than 5 minutes of you getting that lead, your chances of selling them are skyrocketed. And that's coming from Sean B. Bradley up in Jersey. So, and I shared this before, 2015, AutoTrader did a study, and they're saying 17 people out of 4,000 people like the way the car buying process is ran. That means everybody out there, and I don't like to say everybody, always, everyone, stuff like that, but this is basically saying everybody hates the way they buy a car. They want change. They're screaming for change. So to close more deals, be different than the next person. So we all know the internet is the new showroom. I've talked about in my last webinar is, you know, to prevent showrooming, to stay at your desk. So when you get up from your desk, people are looking on their phones. They're looking at other dealers' websites. They're looking at your website from work. They're looking at your website while they're driving down the road. And yes, they're probably driving while they're doing it, because that's what's happening every day. So the internet is the new showroom, and it's all on the mobile device. Customers are visiting 25 third-party websites. They're not visiting your dealership's website. They're visiting cars.com, CarGuru, AutoTrader, Edmunds. Go Google your brand and a model in your area and see what pops up. Most likely, the very first thing that's going to pop up is a CarGuru website. So if somebody sits there and Googles 2016 Silverado, Louisville, Kentucky, I bet a CarGuru site will pop up. So they're automatically going to CarGuru. They're not going to you. And also, the average buying cycle is up to 90 days before the customer comes to the store. So again, those BDC people, when you're getting that customer, stick with them. Stick with them for 4, 5, 6 months, because that's an average. So if you can sit there and stick with them, again, if you're the first person to deal with them, then you're going to get more opportunities to sell and close that deal. With the BDC, I was just recently out at NAD at the beginning of April, and I had an opportunity to sit down with a couple stores out there and talk to their salespeople. And one of the questions arose to me. It hadn't been asked to me before, and it was like, I'm on the sales floor. They're a closed floor dealership, and they asked me, I have an opportunity to go into BDC. And I looked at them and I said, if you have an opportunity to go in BDC, do it 100%, because this is what's happening, is customers are doing it all on the internet, and they're coming to your store, and they're only coming to 1.2 stores before they make a purchase. So the most of our sales processes are designed to help the manager and not for the customer. So you have to do different things. You have to greet the customer differently. You have to talk to the customer differently. And most importantly, you have to do it straightforward. I don't know how many times I sit there and talk to a customer when I'm getting ready to sit down through my whole process and I'm getting ready to present numbers, or I'm just sitting down when I first initially meet them and talking with the interview process or the fact-finding process or qualified process, whatever you call it. I basically look at them and say, listen, I want to get one thing clear with you folks. I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I don't beat around the bush. I don't want you to think I'm harsh, but I'm going to tell you how it is. And I automatically pause. And I pause intentionally for a reason, because the next thing that comes out of their mouth that says, oh, good, that's what we want. That's what we like. We want to hear from that. So from a standpoint, from a sales process, do you think I'm trying to close them right then and there? You better believe it. That is a close. I'm sitting there setting it up that, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you exactly how it is. I'm not going to beat around the bush. So you're instantly creating a sales process that, one, that they want, two, that they're already starting to feel comfortable with you, because you got to look at it. You've got no shot. If these people leave, they're probably not going to come back. They're going to go to another dealership and buy a car from you. So you've got to set that up right from the get-go. And remember that the sales process is designed for your management team and not really the customer. Your manager, no customer's ever walked in to your dealership and said, hey, what type of sales process do you have? Do you have a 6-step, a 7-step, a 10-step, a 12-step, a 20-step? Oh, you guys have a 20-step process? I'm going to go somewhere else. It's never happened. It's all for the sales. It's all for the sales manager team to keep you on task so you can sell more cars and to keep the customer in a funnel to get to the ultimate end, is that drip out of the bottom for a sale. So then we have our next and last poll question before I go on.
Yes, we do. Okay, second poll question is on the screen now. We'd love it if you'd take part in our poll question again. This is the last poll question of the day. So please let me know what you think is the answer to this. When do you feel it's the most optimal time to close a deal? I know, right? Please select one of the following answers. Do you believe the optimal time to close the deal is during the demo drive, during the meet and greet, when you discuss the numbers, during the walk around, or do you think it's all of the above, always be closing? Who said always be closing? Was that from a movie? That was from a movie, right?
Yeah, it was a stupid movie. I can't remember. Oh, Glenn Gary Ross.
That's right. Coffee is for closers. So when do you feel is the most optimal time to close a deal? During the demo drive, during the meet and greet, when you discuss the numbers, during the walk around, all of the above, or ABC, always be closing? Wow. I was going to say once we get a majority of the votes in, but geez, Louisa, wait till you see the answers to this. Third place, you're fired. No, this is no Glengarry Glen Ross over here. But, are you ready for this? Wait till you see this.
No, I'm ready. Let's go.
In all my webinars doing poll questions, this is the only time I've ever had this much of a response for a question.
Really?
Yes. Okay, let's go in order. 2% of today's audience say most optimal time to close is during the demo drive. 2% of today's audience say during the meet and greet. No one said when you discuss the numbers. 2% said during the walk around. And somehow we have 101% voting today, because 95% of the rest of the audience said all of the above, always be closing. So
Nobody said at the numbers?
No one said at the numbers. That's correct.
That's impressive. I like it. I like it a lot.
So is there a correct answer to this, sir?
I personally think it's all the above. I think, you know, you have to close the entire time of your deal, just like you said, ABC, always be closing.
But if we're talking about optimal time, when do you feel is the optimal time to close?
I think that's what everybody said. It was always be closing. Optimal time is you start from the beginning and go through at the close. And you still have to close people after they leave to get referrals and repeat business and stuff like that.
I love it. Well, audience, you did a great job on that poll question. Thank you so much. And back to you, Mike.
All right, perfect. So, come on, slide. The slide's not going. Hit it one more time.
Try the little controls on the bottom left of your screen and see if that works.
There we go. All right.
That's our fail-safe.
There we go. Whose fault is it when a customer doesn't buy? This is my number one thing that I always teach, and I get to do a lot of teaching inside the store with the new sales guys, and we're all in sales. We know what the sales floor is like. You got the people who are haters, you got the people who are new, you got the people who have been here a long time, and you know, you got the spoon fed and stuff like that. But I get to help out a few of the sales guys, and I enjoy doing it, and that's why I do something like this, because it's my way of giving back to the industry that for almost 17 years has helped me and provided for a family. And if you follow me on Facebook, you can see that I just put in a ton of grass in my yard. And if I didn't have my customers, I wouldn't be able to do that. So, you know, so I always take blame for everything 100%. 100% of the blame is always on me. So, again, the big two things is when you can sit there and commit to yourself that you're going to know the knowledge, you're going to be a closer, you know, sit there and say you're going to be a closer. And then, secondly, take the blame for everything. If a customer doesn't buy a car, If a customer wants more money and you offer them less money, take the blame. If a customer is negative equity, take the blame. Who cares that ABC Motors across the street sold the car? Commit yourself to taking the blame for everything, and when you can do that, you're going to look at the outlook of closing deals. You're going to look out at the outlook of making more deals very, very easy for yourself. One thing I always tell sales guys, if you're having a down month or a down week or a down day, is go look in the mirror and let the person to blame, and then tell yourself, what can I do to get out of this funk? Plain and simple. That's all you've got to do. So questions lead to confessions.
What?
Yep. Questions lead to confessions. We are taught in this car business to ask open-ended questions. However, you should look at it as you don't need to ask finite questions, which is lip loading. A lot of times people will ask, you know, what are you looking for? Car, truck, SUV? That's a finite question. Just simply ask, what are you looking for? When you've got to that point of the thing, you can't walk up to a customer and say, what are you looking for? Because they're going to say, I'm just looking. But when you know the customers, hey, I want to come in and say this. Hey, perfect. What has you looking for that? Why are you looking for that? Start asking just one question, leave it go, and be done. And let them talk. You know, my infamous saying is, you got two of these and one of these, which is two ears, one mouth. Use them accordingly. And if you just let the customer do all the talking, and if it takes 25 minutes for that customer to tell you what they're looking for, so what? This isn't a race. The whole idea is to close more deals. If it takes 25 minutes for a customer to sit here and tell you their story, so that way you can get more information out of it, and you can close that deal, what was that 25 minutes? It was invested. You closed that deal. We never know what one deal is worth to us. I've got a customer that's one deal is worth probably 19, 20, 21 car deals, just from one time selling the vehicle from the get-go. And that's where, you know, I sat there and I listened to him. And he turned into be a problem after the first car deal. I sat there and listened to him, found out that, hey, if I spend $100 or have the dealership spend $100, I'm going to close him on more deals. And so I listened to him, and I just went through things. So find the why. So you've got to find the whale, and you've got to make this thing rock like an earthquake on a Richter scale. I mean, you have to make this thing rock. So the number one question I love is, what made you reach out to us? I don't ask, why did you stop by? What are you looking for? Stuff like that. What made you reach out to us? Again, I'm asking a question to get a confession. More times than none, I'm going to get a whole life story. Go up and ask your receptionist of how many times the customer tells their whole problem to them on the phone, and they're like, oh, hold on one second, let me transfer you. Because the receptionist is asking an open-ended question of saying, thank you for calling ABC Motors. How may I direct your call? And the customer says, well, this is my problem. I need this. I have this. I have this, 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 and this. And next thing you know, she says, okay, you need service department. Give me one second, please. And she transfers. And she has it happen 50, 60 times a day at a busy store. And she gets fed up with it. But what she doesn't realize is there's a training opportunity there. It's like, if you ask your questions to the customers the same way, what made you reach out to us? Well, I was in an accident last week, and the week before that, my other son was in an accident, and blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, you're thinking about it. Oh, there might be a two-car deal here for that type of scenario. So ask those open-ended, non-finite questions, so that way you get some confessions with your customers. So, and just remember, customers don't stop the sales. Salespeople stops the sales. This isn't anything to do, you know, with, you know, salespeople stopping the sales is like, hey, don't buy a car for me. It's the simple fact that you've got to sit there and set the deal up. You just like golfing, you've got to set the ball on the tee before you can hit it down the fairway. You know, you've got to set that ball up correctly. So when you sit there and you start talking to your customers more and more and more and getting that more information out, and I'm infamous for writing stuff down. I write everything down when I'm talking to a customer in the event that I can do it. A lot of times I'm out on the lot and I'm setting my deals up on the lot. I'm doing stuff on the lot. But at the same time, I'm writing everything down so that way I've got a notepad full of stuff with my customers and I've got all this information. And I'm not going to stop the sale. I'm going to keep the sale going. So in the event that the customer walks on the lot, they're a fresh up, and you want to sit there and say, okay, well, hey, we want to come in and see this vehicle right here. a lot of times sales guys will sit there and stop the sales process and try to get them to step down or go through what their dealership says is the sales process instead of doing anything else. They're like, well, hold on, we got to do this. I need you to introduce you to my manager before we go on a test drive, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying go buck the system and do something different than what you're doing, but you got to think of it in your mindset. If you were that customer walking in a lot, how would you feel if you were treated the way you treat your customers as far as a sales process go? I know everybody on here treats their customers fair with some integrity and stuff like that, or you wouldn't be on here. The bad salespeople in this world are not on here trying to learn good things. They're out there learning the bad things and how to get 4-pounders and all that other crap. So, you know, but look at it. If you go to Best Buy or if you go to Walmart, you know, there's a difference. I can go buy the same TV at Best Buy and Walmart. However, who's more knowledgeable, Best Buy or Walmart? Okay? So we go to Walmart, you know, or we go to Best Buy. We don't go to Walmart because we find competent people. We find people that can sit there and know about the TVs, know about the home theater and all that stuff. So we go to some place that is going to treat us good. It's the same thing here. The customers have a choice. They have online reviews. They're sitting there talking about, you know, looking at things that we're talking about online, stuff like that. They're looking at our Facebook profile. They see the BDC manager responding back to reviews online. They see stuff like that, and that's why they're making the choice and going to only 1.2 dealerships because we have so much information out there. So social media can plant your seeds for you in which you can watch them grow. I have a gentleman that is infamous for beating the crap out of me on new car deals. My new car deals are a mini. I get $100. I want to get this deal done as fast as I can, and I want to move on. So I had this cool idea. I sold him his last car in August of 2015. Was that right? Yeah, August of 2014, excuse me. August of 2014 is when the last time I sold him his car. And he keeps calling me and bugging me and hey, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that. You got to give me a good price. And I lost one of his deals because he doesn't believe the sales process. So what I started doing, and if you follow me on social media, you know I talk about this quite a bit. Hey, folks, great news. We don't negotiate anymore. We don't negotiate on price, and here's why. And I'm kind of telling people what I've told you already. I'm sitting here and telling people that this is the reason we don't negotiate. I know that you are looking 45 to 90 days. I know that you are visiting, you know, 25 websites. I know you're looking at KellyBlueBook.com. I know you're looking at Edmunds. I know you're looking at TrueCar.com. I know you're looking at all of this stuff before you come to the dealership, but you still think that you need to walk into the dealership and know that you have a good deal on this price and you still want to negotiate. So when it comes to me pushing that stuff out on social media, I have more and more and more customers that watch me on social media. They're like, I know you guys don't negotiate. You got a great price. I checked it out, blah, blah, blah. And they buy. And they buy without losing a dime. So, or without the dealership losing a dime. And number one, it's a fair price. There's nothing negative there. I'm not doing anything deceitful. I'm not doing anything crazy to my customer. I'm simply sitting there and setting the deal up before they even walk into the store. So when I said at the beginning of this session that I'm going to set deals up before I even know their name, it's dead on true. If you can create a following in your local community of you are being the professional to buy a car, and you have that following on social media, which is a completely different webinar, you get that following, you're going to set your deals up correctly before they have a name. I did a social media campaign in my little town. I live in a little town, and they had a boil water advisory. And the only reason we found out that we had a boil water advisory was based off of a Facebook page for our subdivision. So I thought of this cool idea. Like, you know what? I'm going to do a video saying who I am, where I work at. By the way, I live in Georgetown, Indiana. Did you know we have a boil water advisory? If you did know that we had a boil water advisory, did you think about doing this after the boil water advisory was lifted? And I put it to another website. And I put that to my website basically saying, okay, here's what you need to do after the boil water advisory. And all I did was have another video that says, thanks for coming over here. Make sure you like my Facebook page, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And make sure you empty the ice in your freezer because your ice maker is still making ice. So that was a good tip for them. And I got a bunch of followers in Georgetown, Indiana And now I've been targeting those followers in Georgetown, Indiana, where I live, because they're my neighbors. And I want to sell my neighbors more cars. The more neighbors I get, the more I go. But I tell you what, I'm setting them up for the close from the minute they like my page because of the stuff that I put out there. I let them know that we have the best price. I have other people put up my Facebook page on some other groups that I'm in, that when I post Corvettes for sale, they sit there and say, that's a great price. Davenport always has the best price on those cars. I'm setting them up that if somebody in that group sees me wanting to buy a car, or they are wanting to buy a car, they know up front that they don't negotiate. That I'm going to come out and give them a straightforward answer on what they're going to buy the car for, what they're going to get their trade-in value, shipping, if the shipping costs, stuff like that. So, you know, this isn't rhythm method. You have to have massive action which creates massive results. And that's what I was just kind of talking about. You've got to sit there and just keep pounding and being redundant. You don't have to be redundant every day. But, you know, and talking about this and doing this slide deck, I was like, you know what? I haven't talked about the buying process on social media yet. I'm going to do that next week on social media of the buying process. Listen, I know you do this. I know you do that. I'm here to help. If you know somebody looking for a car, tell them that I know this stuff and that I'm going to help there. So there's massive action out to your following on Facebook and on social media. And you can also do videos on YouTube. Put a YouTube video up on how to buy a car. Let me tell you why and stuff like that. This is something that I have on my desk. This is, you know, I think you need to find tools that help you close deals. And when you can find different tools to help you close deals, the better off you are, the more you're going to close, the more deals you're going to close, and the faster you're going to close deals. All this is a two-sided piece of paper that's in a little plastic cradle on my desk, and it just shows some stats. And it's while the customer is sitting there, if I'm up doing something or if they just sat down and they want to read that or whatever the case may be, it gets picked up all the time. It gets picked up so much that I have to typically replace it because somebody puts their hands underneath it and rips the paper. And it's just stats. It's just like, listen, you know, the average buying cycle, you know, thinking about it is a thing in the past. You don't come in here and need to think about it anymore and stuff like that. So, you know, stuff like that, I'm planting the seed early on is, hey, don't even tell me to think about it because you've already thought about it for 45 to 90 days. You've already, you know, you passed 50 dealerships to get here. All that stuff I just mentioned, I'm telling the customer that as well and planting the seed that you're going to buy a car today. I had a deal that I was setting up, new brand new Silverado. And he knows the service manager of our dealership really, really well. And so I made sure that I passed through the dealership, go by the service manager, and that way he would stop and say hi to Mark, our service manager. And Mark instinctively says, what are you doing? He says, I don't think about buying a car. And Mark says, oh, you've already bought a truck. You just don't know it yet. And I sat there and I was like, I can't believe he just said that. I said, perfect. So now I've got my service manager setting deals up for me, putting closes on it, and the customer's being closed by my service manager because my team, my people in here know that I can close deals. And what they don't know is how I close deals, and I close deals getting from the start. Here's one thing, your managers, if there's any sales manager in there, they're going to hate me saying this, but I work deals on a lot. I very rarely have to work a deal at my desk. So when I asked the question earlier on the poll is when's the best time to close, I said I think it's always be closing. You're always closing the whole time. I very rarely have to close at my desk when I'm showing the numbers because I've already worked them on the lot. I've already worked them in the car. I've worked them through my interview process of talking to the customer because I get confessions from the questions that I ask, and I get that information from the customer. And when a customer sits there and tells me that they want a $300 payment, now, folks, I told you I was going to be straightforward with you, right? Correct. How much money are you going to put down? They tell me. They know that I'm not BSing them. They know that I'm not going anywhere. I ask them very direct questions when those questions are. We're always told not to ask how much money down. You know, how much, you know, most banks put down, they want to see you put down 20%. They go around this big, elongated thing where I'm right to the point. How much money are you putting down? Well, I don't plan on putting any down. Okay, well, let me tell you something. Most banks do want to see 20% down on this particular, on this $20,000 car, it's this much money. However, we can make it work for less money. However, also, you know, you basically told me you wanted a $300 payment. The math doesn't add up. You can't do a $300 payment on this. You can go into your $20 a month analogy and all that stuff that we've used over the years and know that stuff. So, you know, I tell them, like, let's not even work on that car. And a lot of times, if that's the case and that happens, and that scenario happens to me, they're like, oh, okay. I just had a referral in here, and that scenario happened, so it's why it's fresh in my mind as well. So she came in. She wants to see this brand-new Chevy Trax. Okay, no problem. Let's look at it. Let's drive it. I didn't ask her one question. I didn't ask her one question of what she wants on a payment. I didn't do this because talking to her, I could tell that she was a very, very strong-willed person, and I didn't want to offend her and turn her off, so I just let her drive the car. Again, kind of like I said earlier, asking a question to get a confession, if they rattle off for 25 minutes, so what? Let them rattle off for 25 minutes. So what? I drove the wrong car for them. This was not the car for them. They did not end up buying a new Trax. They ended up buying a used Equinox with 30,000 miles because she wanted to drive another car. Okay, let's go drive that car. No problem. And then she wanted to look at another car. And based off of my questioning with her, I told her, like, no, you don't want this car, but let me go get the keys. I'll show it to you. That way you're sitting in it and ruling it out. At that point, when she was looking at a brand-new Chevy Equinox for $25,000, which was the most vehicle that we had looked at price-wise, that's when I looked at her and I said, what are you budgeting for your monthly payment? $300 a month, Mike. I said, okay, and I made sure I used some gestures with my hands and my eyes. I rolled them a little bit. I put them in the top left corner of my eyeballs, put them on the top left of my head so that way they know that I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, how much money are you putting down? $2,900. This is what she told me. She told me they're putting $2,900 down. Who on earth has ever walked into a dealership and said, we're putting $2,900 down? They're going to tell you none. They're going to tell you 1,000. They're going to tell you 2,000, so on and so forth. So they told me $2,900. I knew darn well they're putting $2,900 down. So I said, okay, with your $2,900 down, I got a payment calculator on my phone. We've all got them. Managers, if you don't think your salespeople got payment calculators on their phone, you're sadly mistaken. So I get my payment calculator out and I show them. It's like, listen, I don't have credit on these people yet. I'm using 5% rate. Boom, 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 boom. This tells you that I need to be at a $17,000 car to get you a $300 a month or whatever it was. I think it was 16 and some change. And they're like, okay. I said, then I went into credit. How's your credit? It's okay. Because I know the family. I know the family's got shaky credit. Okay, well, I'm using this rate. So I'm not saying you're getting that rate. So if your rate goes higher, then your payment goes higher. Well, I can borrow some money from my mom. So I got this all approved, $3,400 down, got $500 from mom, and I closed her at $320 a month. Bada bang, bada boom, done. The deal was done, and the customer's happy, and she left in the car ecstatic, jumping up and down, screaming about her buying this brand new car for the first time. I did that because I set the deal, I worked the deal on the lot, and I closed it on the lot. When it came time to the numbers, I didn't need to work numbers. I already had them done on the lot. And that's where you can sit there and work deals and close deals on the lot. You've got to do it smart. Now, if you're a guy that's been in the business for 6 months, you've got to be careful because you're gonna do something, you're gonna screw up, you're gonna piss a customer off. So you need to sit down and get the gist of it. A good rule of thumb is $20 for every 1,000. Hey folks, if you want a $300 payment, you got to buy about a $15,000 car. 0% is $16.66. So I'm just using a little over $3. $20 per thousand, you set that up that correctly that way, and that puts it in their mind. Listen, they've already done the math. They already know it. I'm putting this tool out here on my desk to confirm that stuff with them and whatnot. And then, I'm not going to show that yet. I'm going to say one more thing. So there's so many tools out there, and the customers are using them, and we as salespeople are not. And you've got to know what the salespeople the customers are using against us salespeople and us managers. So what I did a while ago is I wanted to, and this is the big thing that I've been talking about that I'm dropping. Why my wife told me not to do it, but I'm doing it anyways. I decided several years ago, about two years ago, that I'm gonna sit here and invest some money in myself, and I'm going to create an app for myself. So I, the Chevy dude, something I've never talked about, something I've been using for a long time and it closes a ton of deals for me, is I have an app on my phone or on my customers' phones that I give them when they leave the dealership.
What?
So not only, hey, it's amazing. Wait till you see this next screen that I'm about to show. So not only do they have this app, but this app tells me when they're inside of it. So this app tells me that, hey, they tapped. They tap contact. They hit contact me. Next thing I hit was email. I get push notifications on my phone that tells me all of this stuff. It tells me that they're looking at a new car. It tells me that they're looking at new used car inventory. It tells me that they called roadside assistance. So when I get all that information back from my app, what do you think I'm going to do? Okay, if they hit contact me and then they hit send email or schedule service, I'm going to go look at my email folder so I can get back to them right away because I need to contact them within 5 minutes. What if that contact email, because my customers know how busy I am, is just simply, Mike, my daughter needs a new car. We want to come in. I need to get back with them in 5 minutes. I mean, that's the goal, to get back with them in 5 minutes. If they hit the roadside assistance button, hey, now I can just call them and say, hey, I just want to follow up on the car and see how it's doing. You don't call them and say, hey, I saw you were in my app and you called roadside assistance. What's going on? Then you're a creeper, even though we are. But now I can call and follow up. And, you know, Grant Cardone talks about this, that you have to turn a problem into a solution and make it profitable. And I agree with that and I believe it. So now they're tapping on new and used car inventory. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to call and follow up with them. Hey, well, how's your car I sold you 3 years ago? Mike, you just sent me an email last week asking the same thing. Oh, you got my email. Well, Mike, actually, it's funny that you called. I was looking at your app, and I need a new car because that one got totaled. Oh, really? Perfect. And then the big one is the refer me button, the third one down. Now, here's what happens. How many times have we been out there that a customer sits there and sends you a referral, and they come in and they buy from somebody else? Or it happens to me. Hey, my brother-in-law just bought a car here last week. Oh, really? What's your brother-in-law's name? And I look him up in the CRM, and the salesman next to me sold him because they may have told that person, oh, go see Dan at Bachman, but they didn't remember it. So the refer me button sits there and pushes their name, their phone number, and a note to me, and now I've got that contact name. Well, here's what I'm going to show you that's really, really cool, and this helps me close more deals. This person is buying a car from me right now. This is a live deal that I'm doing right now, and you can see it's 3 days ago. We're working a deal right now. He has told me that he's put no money down on his car payment. No money down. What numbers do you see in the loan calculator? I see $2,000 and I see $4,500 down on 84 months using a 4% rate, 8% sales tax, which is correct for him. And he's also looking at 98-month loan at 3.6 rate. I don't know how you go 84 to 98 and go 3.6 and go down in rate, but so be it. But he's also got $4,500 down. So he's trying to get to a payment, I'm sure. So I've called him, and we're still playing phone tag, and we're still doing some follow-up, and he's trying to get some things around. I think he's trying to get his money around is really what he's doing. Because I've said, hey, have you thought about putting $5,000 down? Because that's going to kind of get you to the payment. Yeah, he says, I've kind of thought about it a little bit here and there, blah, 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 blah. So now his thought process, if he's got the money or not, I don't know. But, and I haven't questioned him on 98 months because I don't have a bank that will do 98 months. But I'm like, hey, why don't you do 84 months? Let me work on the rate for you, and I'll get it. So now I've literally taken my app and turned it into a closing tool, which is just phenomenal because you do not get this information from anybody ever. A customer never comes out and tells you that, hey, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at this, and you move on. So that's a cool tool that you've got to find the tools that get things go for you.
And is this for iPhone, Android, or is it just for iPhone?
It's for any phone out there that's a smartphone, I should say. Any smartphone, not a flip phone.
And you personally, do you have an iPhone or a Droid?
I have an iPhone.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it works on Droid. I don't run across too many Windows phones. I typically only see Apple and Android. I don't see too many thing else here at the Chevy store. So, are these pesky objections? I tried to list 7 objections because I knew I was going to be running real close on time, and I'm going to have to fly through these last few minutes. So, the top 7 objections that I typically get from a customer that I think you typically get for a customer, and I truly believe that when you get an objection, you need to hit the nail straight on the head. You need to look them directly in the eyes, address the objection, agree to their concern, and close the deal. I don't believe in going around an elongated close. I know there's people out there who do. I personally don't. This is what works for me, though. It may not work for you. You might have to be the person that has to just kill them with a lot of verbiage, and they say, like, just shut up, we'll buy the car. I do that sometimes. And so these are the top 7 objections that I get a lot, and we'll go through. And you're going to be like, how long pre-approved an objection, but watch. So I'm pre-approved. You meet somebody on the lot, you go over numbers, whatever the case may be, I'm already pre-approved for my dealership. Perfect. Sounds like financing won't be a problem for you. Can I have an opportunity to look to see if we can get you better terms? Most of the time, the customer says no. Wait. So if I can get you a better interest rate, you don't want me to do that? That's not a question I'm asking. That's just me internally. That's your mindset you need to have with this question. When they say, I'm already pre-approved, they come in with a PNC ready check. PNC is big around here. I know it's big up where Eliano lives. PNC is a big bank, and they sit there and they say, hey, get pre-approved, walk into the dealership with a check just like you're paying cash. Perfect. Okay, so you're already pre-approved. If we have an opportunity, can I try to save you some money on financing? Nope, I'm want to only go with my bank. They take it out of my check. They take it out of my whatever the case may be. They take it out of my account automatically. They give you a million objections. You just let that go. You just say, okay, no problem. When it comes time to going over numbers, if you have to go to the numbers like we traditionally do on most deals, oh, man, I need a better price on that car. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, remember earlier I asked you if you wanted to save some money on financing? You said no. So why on earth would you want to save money on the car when you're not interested in saving money on the interest rate? I can save you a lot of money, and I've done that already up front, but I've got my best deal on the table, just like you think that you've got your best deal for financing. If you'd like me to, I can save you some money and go with and look at financing and save you some money that way because I know I can beat your rate. And that gives your dealership some areas for profitability for back end, stuff like that. And it also puts it to them that, hey, you told me up front that you're not interested in saving money. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? So why are you saying that? So you got to sit there and hit them right square in the head that, hey, you already told me you're not interested in saving money, but I've got my best deal on the table. I know you think it's too much money. Just let's do it and move on, blah, blah, blah. So I have to talk to my spouse. This one always comes up. I need to talk to my wife. I need to talk to my husband. But the fact is, they've already talked to their wife. They've already talked to their husband. They've been doing research for 45 to 90 days. They've been talking to six different dealerships. They've been doing all this stuff. So I always ask them, what if your spouse says no? And both sexes, it doesn't matter. The man and the wife, husband and husband, woman and woman, it doesn't matter. They all have an ego, and they're very rarely going to tell you that my wife, my husband's not going to tell me no, because they're sitting in front of you and they want to have some type of authority. Oh, they're not going to tell me no. So at that point I say, excellent. I just need your approval right here. Because they're just telling you goofy things to try to avoid making a decision. And it's your job as a salesperson to bring them to a decision that they're going to be happy with. And the fact is, the faster that you can close the deal, the more happier they are. So customer says no. Hey, I need to talk to my spouse. Hey, what happens if they say no? Oh, they're not going to say no. Excellent. I just need your approval right here. Hey, if my spouse says no, we won't do it. Excellent. Would they have a concern over the price or the payment or the money down or all three? You're pulling that objection out. What about the money down? Well, we really only wanted to put $1,000 down, but you're asking me for two to get to that payment that we're really comfortable with. Then now you can go into other options to close that deal. You've pulled an objection out. You've pulled more concern out. Again, you're asking questions to get confessions. So we have a strict I get a customer that says, hey, I want to sleep on it. I love doing this. This is so funny. It always takes them a second. They look at you and are like, what? Hey, we have a strict no sleep on our cars, sir. After you own it, you're more welcome to sleep on it as much as you want.
Cute. And cute.
You've got to say it with a smile. You've got to be smiling when you say this. And they look at you like, oh, he thinks I actually want to sleep on the car. And they start laughing. I have closed more deals from getting them laughing, from me smiling. I close. Folks, seriously, you're not going to want to sleep on the car. It's uncomfortable. Let's just do this now. Boom. You're like, you're right, Mike. We do want to do this now. Let's get it on. Is this your best price? This one happens every day, every dealership, every day of the week, every day of the year. Hey, I always tell people, I'm honored you asked me that question because nobody ever asks me a question when they're not generally interested in my product. This is my best price based off of earlier conversations of how we price our cars. Let's just get this done so that way you can focus on more things and have them sign. You know, boom, there's a close. Hey, this one always comes up too. And, hey, I can get the same car cheaper down the street. I can get the same car cheaper up in North Carolina. I can get the same car. They've got the same car over there for $2,000 cheaper. Your sales managers are going to tell you, now make sure we're on the same product. That is the worst thing you can do, because we get the old adage of buyers are liars, and I say, no, buyers are not liars. You asking stupid question makes the customer a liar. If you sit there and ask the customer, is it the same vehicle? Are they going to tell you no? Oh, no, it's not the same vehicle. You're $2,000 higher, but their MSRP is $2,000 cheaper. They're not going to tell you that. It's never happened. In the world of car sales, that's never happened since Henry Ford invented the Model A or whatever it is, Model T. I don't know what the hell it was. So I would say, excellent. If the money was the same, would you rather buy from them or buy from me? They're sitting in front of you. They're going to say, we want to buy it from you, Mike. And then you turn around and say, well, why is that? Why else? Why? Oh, really? That's really cool. What else? What else? That's it. Now, do you see why I'm $1,000 higher? I just need your approval right here. So you pulled out their objection of why, and they just built value in the product, because we know as soon as you build more value in the car, they're going to close every single time. So you're making themselves build value in their car. Too much money. I love the too much money. This is too much money. Again, they have been shopping for 45 to 90 days. They have looked at cars. They have looked at thousands of cars and ruled them out, and they're coming to 1.2 dealerships before they decide to buy a car. They've calculated monthly payment. I showed you that proof with my payment calculator. They are doing all this stuff at home on their phone, driving down the road, and getting all this stuff. They know the money when they come in. So I always tell them, of course it's too much money, but you knew that before you got here. And they're like, you're right, we did know that before we got here. Boom. And I use that close so much that I probably need to back off on it. Like, wow, this car is $30,000. Yeah, but you probably knew that before you got here, didn't you? Yeah, we did. I use it when they first look at the window sticker. Yeah, we saw the ones that are $24,995, but we know they're not all $24,995. We know they go up. Of course they did. They went on Chevy.com. They went on Hyundai.com, Dodge.com, Ford.com, whatever the case may be. Another one that I like to do is, this is way too much money. It's like, yes, it is, but you don't do this every day. You need to treat yourself. You need to reward yourself, whatever the case may be. You work too hard to settle for second best. And they're going to say yes because they want to pound their chest. You're like, yeah, we do. I do work too hard. You know, the person who is middle class, make $100,000 a year, they're like, man, I work way too hard to not get paid more. I work too, you know, the millionaire sits there and says, I work way too hard. You know, I don't want to spend this money. He's a millionaire. He's got the money, so on and so forth. So, and then also going with the money, it was like, well, I'm over budget. This is way too much money, and I'll bring the budget thing up. I understand this. I understand you have a budget. But great news, Monday night at 6 o'clock, we have an over-budget meeting, and you're more welcome to come. Everybody that's in there is over budget, you know, and they laugh at that. And I'm like, well, let's just do it. You knew that before you came here today. Boom. You know, and again, over budget. You're over budget on your water bill. You're over budget on your credit card. You're over budget on your food bill. You eat out way too much. You go to lunch on, you know, with friends. You're over budget on drinking beer every week. You know, they know that coming in. So you can't let these pesky objections get in the way of selling a car. Because remember, you stop the sales process. The customer does not. The customer doesn't know the sales process. You do. You get it in your head that, hey, I need to go talk to the manager for this, 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 and this, and you stop the sales process, and that's why you're losing more deals. You cannot stop. You've got to stay in the close. You've got to stay there in the close and talk to people and keep there. And when you power yourself and get the knowledge of having all this stuff in your head, you won't have to get up. I never, ever, ever get up from my desk unless I just simply need a break to talk to a customer, to talk to a manager. Okay, here's where I'm at. You know, they're $500 away. I know I'm holding $500 in the trade, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. That's the only reason I'm doing it, is because I'm just trying to run something off somebody and just that I need a breather. So, hey, we're not buying today. I love this one. I actually bring this up before they can bring it up. Jonathan Dawson's a great sales trainer down in Georgia. He helps me out a ton, and he does such a great job with helping salespeople out, that he's actually taught me to bring objections out of people, which I love. I've never thought of it about that way. I'm gonna bring an objection up to somebody. So you're walking out of the lot, and what do we always say? Can I help you? And the customer says, no, I'm just looking today. So Now I walk up to customers in a lot. Hey guys, are you doing some looking and shopping? And they don't know what to say. It's like, yeah, we are doing some looking. Yeah, we are doing some shopping. Excellent. Now I can go in. Now I can go into it, and they're not going to tell you, hey, leave me alone. I'm just looking. I brought the objection out. I'm like, yeah, we are looking. Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, hey, I've got 1,000 cars in the lot. You know, I've got some stuff that's coming in from the factory over here, and blah blah blah. And what are you looking for? And that way, I can just point you in the direction. I'll leave you guys alone. I never leave them alone. I'm just letting them know that, hey, I'm not going to be pressured. I'm not going to do it. And I love asking the question, you don't have to buy anything today, do you? Because they always say no. No, I don't have to buy anything today. But, again, I'm asking that question kind of like I asked it up front. You know, why did you contact us? Why did you reach out to us? Why are you on the lot today? What has you in the market for a new automobile? I'm asking an open-ended question, so they just start telling me and telling me and telling me stuff. I'm getting confessions from my questions. So I ask, hey, you don't have to buy anything today, do you? Well, yeah, I do, actually, because that's my rental car, and it's due back today, and blah, 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 and they start telling you. So now you know you got a buyer. No, I don't have to buy anything today. We're just starting our looking process. You know, another question I like to ask, how much internet research have you done? Well, I've done a ton. God, I haven't done any. She's done it all when you got a couple there and stuff like that. So, in closing, don't be an amateur. Be a professional. Rock this world and knock your sales off the Richter scale and just start pounding, pounding, pounding. I just talked to a salesman this morning. He's new. I think he says he's 2.5 weeks in his sales, and he said he sold 20.5 cars last month. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. I'm so excited for him that he sold that many cars. And he just sat there and just started in sales. I'm almost 100% positive. And so he sat there and he's learning the closing and stuff like that. And it's just absolutely amazing that a new sales guy can come out here and sell 20.5 cars in a month. Number one, May wasn't all that strong. And that's what I told him. May sucked. May sucked for every manufacturer across the board. I know Chevrolet was down like 18%. I think SARS was down 15%, I think, if I remember right, the numbers that came out yesterday. So everybody out there in the United States was down. May sucked. Here was a brand new guy, and he sold 20.5 cars in a month. That's amazing. So some of my suggested resources, Aliana paid me really, really big money to put in there to make sure you pop in to the dealer on Webby.
Did I?
Yeah.
But thank you.
You're welcome. So no, seriously. I listened to a webinar last week, and my time is extremely valuable. But something I don't do well on is Instagram. I don't do a whole lot on Instagram. And I listened to the Webby last week, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I do this, but I do it differently. And I started putting. And Kate Frost was doing this webinar last week, and so I sat there and was listening to her, and I listened to it twice actually. And I was like, oh, I didn't think about putting all my 30 hashtags in the comments below. So now I'm putting 60 hashtags in all of my Instagram. So that's a tip that I learned from a dealer on Webby. And I'm telling you, you can learn one tip out of one of these things, and it can take you through the roof. And it's amazing on the likes and the comments that I've been getting. I've been getting more engagement from local people and stuff like that in just 1 week. You know, today's really 1 week. I love Grant Cardone's Closer Survival Guide. It's got 100 closes in it that you can memorize, you can use, they're quick, to the point. They're asking for the sale every single time. Every single time you've got to ask for the sale. And I don't know how many people have heard of this guy. I've just recently learned about him beginning of the year. Really cool dude, Ryan Steumann. You can look him up on Hardcore Closer. And he is he's got an amazing background. Drug addict, alcoholic, in jail, felony, prison, time, stuff like that. He comes out, he turned his life around, and now he's a multimillionaire. Absolutely amazing guy, and he's got a great story, and he does a great job of closing deals. And then Oren Klaes, he is a wonderful writer, and I think if you have not read this book, or if you have read the book but you have not listened to the audiobook, you need to listen to this audiobook. The tone of his voice that he has on his audiobook is going to fire you up. So download this on audiobook and listen to it in the car, listen to the gym, whatever, listen to it in the shower, whatever, because that is an amazing audiobook. And like I said, his tone of voice fires you up and gets you moving. So a couple action items for you. I have a sales professional group. It's called Automotive Sales Professionals. And get in there. Number one rule is your profile has to say you're in auto sales. If your profile does not say you're in auto sales, I automatically hit ignore. My wife is an admin in there, and she has automatically hit ignore. We do not let anybody in there that's not in auto sales. I got one or two trainers in there, and that's it. So you're not getting bombarded, and I'm keeping it very, very low. I'm going through next week, and if people haven't been in there producing information for people, I'm deleting them out. So I'm keeping this group very, very, very small. I've only got about 700 people in there. It's by design. I do not want to have a ton of people in there.
Am I
to get a bunch
in there?
Of BS and stuff
am I
like that.
In there?
You're not in car sales.
No,
sorry.
I'm not.
I love you. But. So digital dealer, I think you need to attend digital dealer. Number one, I'm speaking there two times. Amy Banner's another salesperson. We're speaking. We have an engagement together that we're doing. And I'm telling you, it's designed for sales managers, BDC reps, stuff like that. And I'm telling you, as a salesperson, it's a good investment to go. Get your dealership to pay for it. But it's a good investment to go because it allows you to get a lot of the information that I just talked about. It allows you to see what products are out there. It allows you to get, and I think the most important thing, the networking, having the networking. And the networking is why Eliana knows me, because I didn't meet Eliana until Digital Dealer 19, I think. And it was Digital Dealer 20, I think. One of them.
I'm the one who told you to go and make sure you had a speaking session for there, that they would really, really like you.
Yep.
I knew that was right.
Yep, and here I am. They gave me two of them.
Nice.
So,
baller.
Practice your closes. Try. So practice all your closes. Commit to winning. Commit to being professional and commit not to be amateur. As Grant Cardone say, average is failing. The average person in this world is a failure. So don't be average. Do great things and just go over and beyond. Put blinders on. Don't get into groups on the sales floor. Find alternate areas. You know, if you got six sales guys out there, you know, stay out of the group. And here's a great analogy to put this a little bit more to you. If you're standing out in front of the dealership and there's four salespeople standing there and you're BSing about whatever, waiting for that next up, comes, you've got a 25% chance of getting that person because there's four of you. You've got 25% chance of getting that customer. If you're by yourself, you've got a 100% chance of getting that customer. So stay out of the groups, even if it's just for a minute. That 1 minute costs you everything. I lost a deal yesterday. It was a good deal. It was a deal that people brag about. I'm so pissed about it. And that would have been my fourth car deal for yesterday as well. I missed a deal yesterday because a customer that I sold, we bought a car off the street from this guy. I'm getting ready to go beeline right to this customer. I hear my name. I turn around, and here's this customer bringing his owner's manual and a front license plate bracket for his car that we bought off the street, and it cost me a sale. So, you know, time kills deals, my infamous saying. So, you know, stay out of your groups, be on point. Stay up front, get away from people, because that's what's going to allow you to sell more cars and close more deals as well. Now it's Q&A time.
It is Q&A time. I'm actually shocked that we don't have even more questions for you. Audience, I know we got a big audience today. So what are you doing? You're telling me you don't have a question for, like, probably the best closer we've ever had on the show. I know you have questions. Get those questions in. We're going to get to that Q&A session in just a moment. Before we do, I want to tell you all, I have four gifts for you today, everyone. They're all in the handouts section. That's right. So if you haven't yet checked the handout section of your GoToWebinar interface, let me tell you what's in there for you. First of all, you're going to see they're all from Mike Davenport. Of course, there is today's Mike Davenport's slide deck. So that slide deck you just saw, yes, you can download that. But let me tell you the other three that are in there. You're going to see a list of rebuttals to common objections, a list of questions that will get you closer to the sale, and Mike's complete follow-up process. You have until the end of this webinar to download all four, if you like, of those handouts, and get them down and start using them. but they're all up there. Yeah, think of hard to think of questions. No, send in your questions. So get to it. I'm going to remind you one more time to download those handouts before the end of the show, but you really should be downloading them now, okay? And it's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, I announced that our good friend Mike Davenport and his buddies over at Auto Alert, they're giving away an awesome prize today on the webinar, aren't you, Mike? Mike?
Yes, I am. Sorry, I was muted.
All right, go to the next slide, my friend. Two, not one, but two of you lucky webinar attendees will win the exact same red carpet that Mike uses on his deliveries. You're literally now going to be able to give your customers the red carpet treatment. So awesome. Great prize. Everyone can use this if you're in car sales. This sweet, sweet prize is valued at only $80, but let me tell you, the reaction from your customers, priceless. So get ready, get to your keyboards. First person to write in a correct response to our giveaway questions will be winning one of these sweet prizes today. If you're a vendor, we're going to tell you how very much we appreciate you being here, but we're also going to ask you to please sit this one out. This prize is only intended for car dealership personnel. If you are not working at a car dealership, we're going to ask you to kindly sit this out. We do appreciate you being here today, and we hope you got a lot out of today's presentation, of course. But here we go. Good luck, everyone. First question is, according to NADA, what is the average number of miles that customers will drive to get to a dealership? Ooh, I would say about 60% of you got this right. But let me see who was the very first person to get this right. Bill Fennell. Bill Fennell. Fennell. Bill, guess what? You're our winner today, my friend. Bill, I'm writing your name down. Congratulations. You are our first winner. You have won yourself a red carpet for all of your car deliveries. Compliments of course, the Chevy dude and his good friends over at Auto Alert. It's going to be coming to you directly from our friends over at Auto Alert. What I need from you, of course, is your dealership name and I also need your mailing address. If you would please be so kind as to send that in, we'd really appreciate that. All right, congratulations, Bill. Guess what? I got one more carpet to give away. Whose fingers are the fastest? All right, here we go. Second question coming to you now. According to Mike Davenport, whose fault is it when the customer doesn't buy? Well, let me tell you, Mike, you sent that one out pretty clearly because everyone got that one right. Let me see who the first one was who wrote that in. Alex Davis. Alex, congratulations. You are our second winner today. Alex, where are you from, dude? Send me your dealership name and also a mailing address. Bill, I still haven't gotten yours yet. Hopefully you'll be sending that in soon. I need it very, very soon, quick-like. Oh. Alex Davis, he's with White Allen Chevrolet. Congratulations. And Bill Fennell.
Is that in Dayton, Ohio?
Dayton, Ohio. Wow. Good job, Wait. Chevy dude.
I know my dealer trade partners.
Congratulations. All right, Alex, thank you so much. Congratulations from White Allen Chevrolet in Dayton, Ohio. And also congratulations to Bill Fennell from Gates Chevy in, oh, my gosh, I can't even say this.
South Bend, Elkhart.
Mishawaka. Mishawaka,
yeah.
India.
Yeah, he's up in that area.
Congratulations to both of you, Bill and Alex. And you know what, audience? I know we only had two prizes to give away today, but you know what? We give away cool prizes every week. So, okay, you didn't win today, but you know what? Come back to another Dealer On webinar. Who knows? That could be the day you win a cool prize on a Dealer On webinar. But for now, we're going to say congratulations to Bill Fennell and Alex Davis. Of course, we got to thank our good friends, Mike Davenport, and our good friends over at Auto Alert for giving out such a cool prize. Thank you so much. And thanks, everyone, for playing along. All right, Michael, you ready for some questions from
yep.
the audience?
Mm-hmm.
No. Go to the one with your picture on it, my friend. Next one. There you go. That's what he looks like. And we can put on our – there we go. Hey, hey, how you doing, Chevy dude? All right, here we go.
Good.
All right, first question. Let's scroll up to see the first question. We had a lot of really good questions that came in. First of all, I want to let you know, Kevin was one of the people who won – your carpet the last time you were here, and he says, we've already almost wore out that red carpet. So they're using
it. That's
awesome. I love hearing that. All right, Kevin, thank you so much for that. Ryan,
hey, here's a tip on the red carpet is if you sell leather and carpet protector, we use Xylon it so that way it stays nice.
I like it. All right. Ryan wrote in, he was agreeing with a lot of stuff that you said, and he just wanted me to say, boom. So Doug agrees with him. He says, you nailed it today. Thanks so much, Mike. And let's see, I think this is first comment came in from Matt. And Matt says, when you get to discussing the numbers, it should already be closed, right? Numbers are just a part of the process. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do, because you know, everybody's time is valuable. I truly, truly believe when a customer walks in that they know everything. They know what's going on. Now, you know, you've got to be able to close. You know, you got that customer who wants full retail for the car. You got that customer who's 85 years old who doesn't even own a computer and doesn't even own a cell phone, or they do have a cell phone. They shut it off until they need it, which is the worst thing they can do. But no, absolutely. You've got to have it in your mindset that I'm going to make sure that when I go to my desk and I write up a deal, it's a done deal. It's closed. When I go to the manager's desk, okay, this is what I need. Boom, 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 boom. Get this car cleaned up. And they're like, really? You haven't even presented numbers. It's sold. Get it cleaned up. And that's what I do to conserve time. And I kind of tell my customers up front. So absolutely, before you get to your desk to present numbers, you better know where your deal's at.
Okay. Thank you so much, Matt. We love the comment. All right. Next question comes to you from Blair. Actually, it was a comment. When you showed your app, he says, great app. I have the same one. And one of today's winners, Bill, he wrote in, so the million-dollar question is, where do we get that app built? So where can they find that app? I know it's not exclusive to you because Blair says he has the same one.
Yep.
So what's the deal?
Chevy Dude app. ChevyDudeApp.com.
Chevy Dude app. Yeah, but where can they get one for themselves?
ChevyDudeApp.com. They can go to ChevyDudeApp.com and get it.
Really? All right.
I set it up so they can get it, and there is a cost to it. And I got to look at my email. I got my email set up for that. If you give them Dana will call you when you do that. Dana's a really, really great girl that I have set up this. And she's got some codes that you can get 37% off of the app. So it's a really good thing. Use Mike 34 is the discount for 34% off of the app.
All right, Bill and everyone else out there, I hope that helps you out. Go get your own app, all right? Thank you so much for sharing that, Mike. All right, next question is Alex. He says, Mike, what is your opening statement when you present numbers?
My opening statement is I'm very, very analytical and very, very to the point of everything I do. So when I go over numbers, I usually say, great news. I got everything here. Are you getting excited? And let them answer yes. They always say yes. And then go through the numbers. And when I get done, regardless of their facial expressions, regardless if they stop, I always ask them on a payment buyer, just circle the payment that works best for you. Circle the payment that you want to do. No, how do I say it? See, I'm not in that mode. Circle one that works best for you, and I need your approval right here. And on a cash buyer, I just say, hey, I need your approval right here, and go in it that way.
All right. Alex, if you have a follow-up question, we're here for you. Thank you so much for the great one. Okay, next question comes to you from Dylan. And Dylan says, my dealership has a salary, and I was just recently taken off of it, not by choice. Do you think salary is a good idea at a dealership? And P.S., the traffic lately hasn't been great.
No, salary is a horrible idea.
Really?
You want to get paid for what you're worth and not for what they think you're worth. So a salary caps you. I've talked about this grass on social media. I overspent on my grass. You know, I had to close myself that I'm over budget. And now I'm at this meeting on Monday night at 7:00. You want to be a commission-based person because that way you get rewarded for your hard work. The more work you put into it, the more reward you get out of it. And traffic is down. Traffic was down in the month of May, but you got to live with that. But most importantly, you've got to sit there and create your own traffic. And now that I've showed this app that I got, hopefully that's the way you can do it. That's the way you can communicate with your customers, stuff like that. So, you don't want to be on salary. You want to be on commission because you can make it up. I'm overspent. I really don't want to. I don't like debt. I don't want to go into debt. And so I put some stuff on a credit card, and my credit card bill is due on the 12th of this month. So I busted my ass to get all my credit card paid off before it was due on the 12th, which it will be. And you can't do that on a salary. I was able to do that because I could just come in and hustle and grind and get stuff done.
All right. Dylan, thank you so much for the question. We hope that helped you. All right. All right. Next one comes in from Kevin. Kevin says, Mike, do you get any pushback from your dealership for having your own app?
No, I don't. They're lucky that they support me for what I do, but it's just another branding tool that I don't think any other sales trainer is ever going to show you or do. And like I was kind of showing you, the information I get back from it, it sells cars. I think it took me 2 car sales to get that investment paid back to me. 2 car sales, that's it. And one was a mini deal from it, and then the other one was a good gross deal. But it could be just 1 car deal and you get your money back, but it's 100% worth it, and I don't get any pushback for it at all because they know that I'm doing it for the dealership.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good question, not just for the app, but for all the interesting things that you do that maybe other salespeople don't do, all of your personal branding, all of your websites and all that stuff. You don't get any pushback for any of that as long as you sell the cars?
Yeah, you know, when you're selling cars, you know, a lot of time when you start going to management, hey, I got this idea, they're going to tell you that doesn't work. I tried that 10 years ago, blah, blah, blah. They're always going to be negative somehow. But the best thing to do is just do it. Just do it. Believe in yourself. Put in the extra work. It's a lot of work. And one thing that I'm not scared to share with what I do because of a couple of things. One, I want to give back to the automotive industry. 2, I want to help salespeople realize that there's somebody that has their back, because my management, not in this dealership, my management in Pasadena, is going to say, they haven't always had my back, and I've had to do my own thing. And then thirdly, when you believe in yourself, you sit there and have the confidence that you can go out and do things and sell more cars. And so those 3 things are huge of just doing it. And I'm always going to tell you, hey, that's a great idea. And if it's a stupid idea and I say it's stupid, it's stupid. Trust me, because I don't say it's a dumb idea or a bad idea a lot. But I had a salesman yesterday. He was on here at the beginning before he started to fly. He's like, dude, who should I take the digital dealer with me? And I had some questions to find out a little bit of information from his dealership, and then I answered it. I'm like, this is what you should do. So I don't mind helping people out, but yeah, you just gotta go with it and roll with it and just do it. And again, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I definitely don't want to get anybody fired. But sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. And it's one of my clothes I use too with my customers. But just roll with it. If you believe in it, you think you see value in it, just do it. Do it the right way so the dealership doesn't get in trouble. That way you don't get in trouble, but don't ask permission all the time. Just do it. I didn't ask permission for my website. I didn't ask permission to do my YouTube videos. I didn't ask permission for Facebook. You know, and again, I'm not saying that. So you just say, well, hey, this Chevy dude, this guy in Kentucky said to do it, and that's why I did it. You've got to do it the correct way. You got to do it the ethical way and stuff like that. If you go out there and, you know, hey, $199 lease payment on a cruise and they're $300, that's stupid on your part to do that. But, you know, I don't advertise price hardly ever. It's always, I want to help you buy a car, I want to help you buy a car, I want to help you buy a car. So just do things on your own and do it the right way, and you'll be fine.
Gotcha. All right. I just want to take a moment to let everyone know we still have a ton of people here that are still listening to you, Mike Davenport, and we just got a slew of great questions in. So let's try and get through those questions as quickly as possible. But for the audience that's on here, we're just going to power through as many of these as possible. I know a lot of people who come to our broadcast find a lot of value in the Q&A session, and I'm sure today will be no exception. So if you're going to hang on, great. If you're not and you do have to go, we understand. I'll be sending you a link to the recording later on today. Mike, are you ready to hit this?
I'm ready.
All right. Next question comes from Bill. He says, Mike, do you still take fresh ups?
Yes.
Okay. You heard him, Bill. He does.
So here I'm going to answer this. I was wondering how I could get this in here because I don't. My fresh ups come from the lazy sales guys. That my fresh ups are people walking in the front door. I sell a lot of my cars at my desk, my phone, through email, through text message. That's how I sell a lot of my cars because I've got a customer base now, and I do so much stuff outside of the area. You know, I got a car. I sold 3 Corvettes yesterday. One of them was in the area. 2 of them was out of town. One was in California, and one was in Louisiana. So those guys I don't have in front of me. And so I've rewarded myself with being able to do that with hard work in the past. But I told you about the grass thing, and I overspent. So literally Monday and Tuesday I had – one appointment each day, and that's it. And I went out on the lot, and I was hustling and grinding, and I was sweating from walking around so fast. I was doing exactly what I preached. I don't get around people. I'm 6'3", so it's hard for me to hide on the lot. But I'll get into a car and sit in the back seat so people can't see me, shut the automatic lights off. I'll get in between two crew cab trucks and kind of crouch down a little bit so nobody can see me or lean up against one and put my legs out real far. So it goes back to what I was saying earlier about the 4 salespeople and you got 25% chance of getting that up. Absolutely I do. And it sucked, man. I hated it. But I got some leads out of it. I sold one of the Corvettes I sold yesterday was from a fresh up on Monday. Would have been nice to sell them at the end of the month, but I got it yesterday. And then, so yes, I do take fresh ups and I practice exactly what I preach when I get those fresh ups. The Corvette guy was walking around a lot. I said, you know, I walked out to him and said, hey, are you doing some looking and shopping today? And I kind of am, yeah. And asked him what he has in a need, why he wanted to reach out to Chevrolet is what I asked. Why'd you reach out to Chevrolet? I didn't say Bachmann Chevrolet. I said Chevrolet. That's something I forgot to mention earlier. I said, why'd you reach out to Chevrolet? And he told me. And his confession off the question that I got was, I was over at Mercedes about ready to pull the trigger. And I told myself I want to go look at a Corvette real quick. And I sold him a car and beat Mercedes up.
Nice. All right. Great, great, question and great answer. Thank you so much for that. All right. Next question comes from Matt. He's going to put you on the spot. He says, Mike, what's your favorite clothes to use?
Better to live rich than die rich.
What?
That came up. Yes, that's funny that came up. That came up yesterday in one of the sales groups I'm in. It might have been mine. It might have been another one. But somebody says, what's your favorite clothes? And I use that on everybody. Everybody. I have a 92-year-old customer that I used it on, and I said, Mr. John, I said, it's better to live rich than die rich. And he looked up at me and started laughing. He says, you're right, and he signed right then and there. 92 years old, and I said that.
Like, 92?
Don't be afraid to close anybody.
What did he buy? Did he buy a Corvette?
Yeah, he bought a Corvette. It was his 21st Corvette that he's bought in his life.
Wow. Well, Matt wrote in. He's like, nice, I just used that last night. Awesome. All right, thank you so much. Great question, Matt. All right, next question comes to you from Josh. I think we already asked this, but he says, what was the app he is using to give his customers? So you said you can go to...
Yeah, ChevyDudeApp.com.
ChevyDudeApp.com. You can find all that information there. And I think somebody else had another question. What is the app address? Yes, we just did that. And then somebody else had another question about the app. Oh, he says, where did you make your app and what was the cost? Did you share the cost?
I didn't share the cost because this is no pitch zone. Put your information in on ChevyDudeApp.com and Dana will reach out to you. Everything I do, I didn't get any special pricing from anything. You'll get the same pricing I did. But I let those people do their job, just like as somebody came in and said, hey, what can I buy a Chrysler for? I'm going to go say, hey, listen, go see my buddy over there at Chrysler. My website, I get asked all the time, like, listen, just call them. They're the professionals because I can't do it justice as far as what they see every day. They may have something that sways you to buy it that I don't. So, but just put in a form, and Dana Croft, she's in Seattle, Washington. She'll reach out to you and take care of you.
I appreciate the no pitch. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. All right, mm-hmm. Everyone, you heard the man. Go to ChevyDude.com and figure out if you want that.
ChevyDudeApp.com.
ChevyDudeApp.com. Excuse me. All right. Nope, we got that one. Okay, Boston said, what's the best payment calculator to use? Boston Dan, excuse me, that's his name.
I use the one on my app most of the time, but I'm thinking of one that I used before. If you have a Windows computer and you're sitting at your desk, the calculator actually, if you go up into File and tell it to do, it's got a mortgage calculator on there, you can do that. I develop a lot of my own stuff, but Grant Cardone's got one in his app for closers. And then if you go to Bankrate.com, I think they got one as well.
Okay.
That's a question I probably should ask my customers, because the new customers that I don't know, mm-hmm. they have payment calculators on their phones all the time.
I like it. All right, Boston Dan, we hope that helped you out. Next question, Mike, comes to you from Jeff. He says, do you offer accessories to your customers? And if so, at what point during the sales process do you present them?
Okay. No is the answer. But
really?
I know the best practices to it. Yeah. we get paid 5% to sell accessories. The reason I don't is because I sell so many cars that it slows my whole process up. And I'm willing to forgo that 5% on a $1,000 accessory order or whatever the case may be. But the best practice is to do it after you close the deal. If the customer brings it up that they want steps, want this, that's fine. You can throw it in the deal up front. But remember, they're probably going to want you to throw it in the deal. The second money is the easiest money to get. So, you know, you look at it when you go into a restaurant, and you're like, hey, sweetheart, let's not spend a whole lot of money here. You get water, but you still tip the server 15 or 20%. So the second money is always the easiest, and it goes without saying that you grinded with your customer, and they got to $300 a month, and they walk into the finance office, and they walk at $330 with no problem because the second money is the easiest to get. So do it after you sell the car in between F&I and the paperwork being done, because the second money is the easiest to get, and then also you've got that downtime to go over those accessories.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much. Great question, Jeff. You okay on time, Mike? Because I still got a ton of questions.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, cool. Next question, Boston Dan, he said, I also wanted to thank you. That was really very helpful. Great webinar. Schmitty wrote in 7 pages of notes. Awesome. Love it. We don't need that. Okay, Alex wrote in. Oh, Alex again. He says, how can I flush out the real objection from the I have to think about it? And he's writing, and he said, shout out from Alex at Wild East Town Honda. I love your snaps.
Awesome, thanks. We need to get you on Snapchat, Eliana.
If you say so.
You can put your dog on there barking at turtles.
He didn't bark today. Yay!
Say the question again. I forgot the question.
Oh, he says, how can I flush out the real objection from the, quote, I have to think about it?
If I have a customer that says I want to think about it, I usually, you know, always agree with the objection. I agree, you should think about it. However, the truth of the matter is, you've already probably thought about it, and thought is instantaneous. Think of an elephant. Think of a house burning down. Think of the flagpole out in the front yard. And they're going to start getting what you're saying. You're like, let's just get this done. You've thought about it long enough. Boom, boom, boom. And, again, I've got that piece of paper on the side of my desk, and I got the very last question that says, the think about it is all done. Remember, and, you know, it's like, did you read this over here? Read number 9. People don't think about it anymore because you've done so much research online. You shouldn't have anything to think about. So what's the real concern of what you want to, you know, what you want to come up with? Because it's just an avoidance, not even an objection. It's just an avoidance to make a decision. And at that point, there's a million reasons. And you got to remember that if they leave, you've got to believe in it. I've always believed in this for almost 17 years. I've believed in this before internet, before all this crap that we've got now. For 17 years, my customer leaves, they're not coming back. That's what I always believe, and that's what makes me work so hard to close the deal now. That's what's made me so good as a closer, because I never believe they're going to come back. You know, we got the old adage is, I'll be the blue guy in the corner because I'm holding my breath, you know. And you know, it's like I never believe they're coming back. And I'm not calling anybody a liar. A million things can come up. Little Johnny breaks his arm. You know, hey, we decided we don't need the car now, you know, because I started thinking about it, because buying a car is an emotional process. It's not a logical process. When you put logic behind a car purchase, you should be buying a $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 car and driving it until the wheels fall off again. So that's the way I overcome that.
All right. Thank you so much. Great question, Alex. Real quick, I know this one came in just now, but I think a lot of people would benefit from it. Schmitty wrote in. He said, I didn't win the red carpet. How can I order one?
Amazon. Go to Amazon. It's on. That's where I order them at. They're $75 carpet. They lowered the price now. But they're $75. And get the one that's just a picture of what I put on here. That one right there, that's the picture that's on the website. Get that one right there. Don't get the other ones. The other ones suck.
The other ones suck. He's tried it. He's tried and failed. All right. Follow-up question from Alex's came in from Tyrone. He says, so wait a minute. If they leave and they never come back, why do we have to have a follow-up process? Smart Alex. Tyrone sent that one in.
No. Hey, actually, believe it or not, I don't think that's a smart-ass comment. Believe it or not, managers are going to cringe. Salespeople are like, what? How do you sell so many cars? When a customer leaves here, I very rarely follow up with them.
What?
Very rarely, because I do so much closing and I hammer them so much that when they leave here, I know they're not buying my car and they're going to buy something else. I know what's going on with my deals. And because of everything that I've talked about and 10 times more that I've talked about, you know, that's where I know where how well my deals are. And the guy yesterday who bought a car, he told me this, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but he told me this. He says, I was waiting for you to call me. I was really waiting for you to call me. Mercedes-Benz called me 3 times. Are you going to buy? You're going to buy? You're going to buy? And then he texted me, and I closed him through a text message over the phone, you know. But because I know where they're at. You know, this guy, I put every ounce of closing material that I could on this guy, and he didn't close. And then he called me back because he really wanted the car. But I don't really call a lot of people after they leave. It's amazing.
Wow, dude. Yeah, you're right. All the managers are covering their ears right now. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Great question, Tyrone. Next question comes to you from Brian. Hey, Bri. He says, how do I get into Mike's Automotive Group?
Just as long as you're on Facebook, as long as your Facebook profile says that you work for a dealership, just look up automotive sales professionals and it'll pop up.
Okay.
Just ask and I'll accept you as long as you meet those criteria.
All right. Blair, who was the one who has the same app as you, he wrote in and says, Mike, are people sharing your app with other people? And if so, are you asking them to do so?
Yes. I remind people in my monthly newsletters that, hey, I do have an app. If you've gotten a new phone, make sure you download it, stuff like that. Don't forget you can schedule service. See, what I've done is, and I would assume that there's probably a lot of dealerships out there this way, service has gotten so overwhelmed and so overran that our service advisors just simply aren't answering the phones. They're not returning phone calls because they're dealing with people in front of them all day long. So what I've done is over the years I've sat there and said, listen, here's how you get a service appointment. Just get into my app, click schedule service, and it's all done for you. The way I've got it set up, because I have my own website, is you go there and it sits there and sends an email to me, sends one to my wife, and then sends one to the service advisor I use the most. So, and then we all communicate, that we all CC each other of a communication with that customer so that we know. But that's how I keep the app on the phone. And when I sell a customer again, it's like, you have my app? Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure, you know, because I just came out with it a couple years ago, whatever the case may be, and they're like, oh, yeah, I still got it. And a lot of times I get a phone call from them. They save their number, my number in their phone, too. But so yeah, people are keeping it on the phone because there's value in it, and the value is the service appointment.
I like it. All right. Well, Blair wrote in. He says, perfect. Thank you. Just so you know, we have still about 10 more questions left, and we have a lot of people still hanging on. So let's try and power through these, okay? Great question, by the way. Okay. Jeff. Oh, I think we might have asked this one. Do you offer accessories to your customers? And if so, what point? What are the common accessories you offer for cars like VW? Okay, so that one, we already asked that, so let's get rid of that one. Okay, next question comes to you from Dylan. He says, got to go use the new knowledge. Thanks for the webinar, Chevy dude, again. Okay.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Alex wrote in, how long does the entire experience take from the greeting to sending them on their way? A fresh customer, nothing done ahead of time. On average, I know you can't speak for all of them.
Yeah. No, and I know the stat because I do all this silly conferences. But 4 hours is still the average time to sell a car. It's on my worksheet here. I still have it right here.
Yeah, I saw it on your worksheet.
With all the technology available, it still takes about 4 hours to buy a car. It sucks. I know. I do it every day. I want this to go smooth. Blah blah blah. So it's still 4 hours.
It's so weird. Because you can buy a house in like a half an hour, but a car still takes 4 hours. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well. You got to remember, I get that comment all the time, and it's perfect that you would say that, Eliana, because you're not in the car dealership, you're not in the car business. So, and you know, you go buy a car, you're just a normal consumer. You're not like any of us listening buying a car because we know the ins and outs of it, stuff like that. But to be in reality, the house buying takes months with appraisals and everything else. You're just going in for a half an hour to sign paperwork, and you're done. You're not walking up and say, okay, I'll buy your house, and then sit there for 4 or 5 hours while they're getting paperwork ready. They've gotten their paperwork already over weeks at a time getting everything done. And that's,
all right.
I get that question all the
Fine.
Time.
Fine, I see it now. But, I mean, would you ever send somebody away and say, hey, come back tomorrow and we'll finish up the paperwork, or is that too much time for somebody to, like, change their mind or back out of the deal?
It's a dealership policy. I would never let anybody walk away without buying my car because of exactly that. The time kills deals is my infamous saying.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Okay, next question comes in from Christy. She says, hi, Mike. How do you get an internet lead who is purely shopping price to come in even though you aren't the lowest price? Now, do you take internet leads, first of all, or do you have a BDC?
I get a few. We got a BDC, and I get a few.
Okay.
If somebody's calling in on Corvette, I get flipped those a lot, and I get flipped the hard ones. That's the ones I get is the hard ones, not the easy ones. Which I'd
Who's
love
easy?
To have
Everyone
easy
would be doing it. Come on now.
I know. I'd love to have the easy ones. But the ones that say, okay, I want to come in and look at it and, you know, sell it. I use the best price thing as, listen, I just had this happen the other day, a couple months ago, is they could bought one, and I hope they're not on, but if they are, it's no big deal. But, Penske Chevrolet, in Indianapolis, this customer was buying a car. I'm two hours south of Penske. This customer was in Dayton Cincinnati, Ohio, and they're 2 hours away from them as well. And they're in the middle, and they can buy anywhere. And I just had to use my one close. If the money was the same, who would you rather buy it from, them or me? You know, and I go into, did this person text that salesperson at 10:30 at night and see what happens. Text that person that you have an emergency and you need help at 10:30 at night and see what happens. This is why I'm more money. And Penske Chevrolet, I'm not calling them out. I'm not making fun of them in any way, shape, or form, so don't think that I'm doing that. But they had the car in stock, and the customer bought my car that I ordered for him. So my true testament of my customer service that I explained to this customer is my only time I've ever done this. I screwed up his order. I got so lucky I screwed up in a way that I could fix it. But he called me a week later and said, add the black wheels for $495. I said, okay, and I never added the black wheels for $495. Luckily, I've got a person that can powder coat wheels and he had the painted wheels, so I was able to take his wheels off and powder coat them, just like factory, and have it done and has a lifetime warranty on it. So, but yeah, so, you know, you just got to go over it and give them reasons to buy your car. I put on Facebook today, this morning on my personal page, is if you go to a dealership or you're shopping for dealerships and like, we have the best inventory, the best price, we have the best customer service, we have this, we have that, we have this, don't buy from them because it's all gimmicks. Because every dealership out there talks about, we have this best, we do this best, we're the number one in sales, we're the number one in customer service, we're the number one in inventory. How does a dealer that has a 2-star rating on Google have the best customer service? But they'll still set that and put that in their commercials. So you have to go about engaging your customers of giving them value after the fact. And when I sit there and I talk to my customer, and this is why my wife didn't want me to do this, but when I talk to my customer and say, I've got an app that you can schedule service at any dealership in the world. If a customer emails me and they're in Abu Dhabi and I say, Mike, I need to schedule a service appointment on my this, I will find a dealership in Abu Dhabi and call and set that service appointment for them. And that's what takes you beyond a normal salesperson and give them the commitment, and that's how you get more money out of that customer. When you sit there and give them all those reasons to buy and you're $2,000 more. And now, if the money was the same, which one would you want to buy? Well, from you, Mike, why is that? Because you're going to make service appointments for me. You're always going to be there when I have questions for the car. And when they do that, and now you can sit there and say, do you see why I'm $2,000 more? And you just move on. That's how I overcome that price injection.
Christy, I hope you took notes, lady. Thank you very much. Great question. All right. She says, thank you, and I agree. Okay, next question comes to you from Ben. He says, I'm getting moved to the floor because they're closing my BDC department. Should I not get the guarantee?
He's talking about like a salary guarantee.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a tough question to answer because I don't know the dealership. My personal opinion, they're probably making a mistake on closing the BDC. That's the dealership process, and I don't know all the ins and outs of their dealership. So my thought process is based off of knowledge in the car business in general.
Right.
But don't take the guarantee. Go out, hustle. Don't come inside. I want to sell 40 plus cars this month. And I'm going to be outside after this. I got to take Saturday off because my daughter's graduating high school. But after Saturday, I'm going to be here nonstop. And I don't wear Under Armour, but I'm wearing Under Armour now because I don't want to sweat through my shirt because I stunk on Monday when I left here from 10 to 6. I stunk so bad. And it's probably why I didn't sell a car after I sold my previous customer. But just go out and hustle and grind a lot. And know the product and know everything that you're doing already that you did good in the BDC, and don't take the guarantee and just make the dealership pay you for coming in. And Grant Cardone's got this thing that says, who's got my money? Have that mentality. Who's got my money? You walk up to a customer and you sit there and say, hey, you know, this customer's got my money, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to pay my bills with it. And that's the mindset you have to go on the floor.
All right.
Because I did it. I was in management. I went to the floor at another dealership in a town where I knew zero people. So it can be done.
It can be done. Ben, we wish you the best of luck, my friend. Okay, next question comes from Bill. Again, he says, what percentage is fresh ups versus repeat referrals? And how many domains do you own and what topics? That's a lot of questions for you from Bill. And my webcam is frozen at the worst possible moment. Oh, my gosh, I look awful. What percent is fresh ups versus repeat referral, and how many domains do you own and what topics?
I think I own 164 domain names, and they're all sorts of different topics. So I've got them all programmed in my phone with different numbers and different sequences, so I don't have to type it out. But like Uber drivers, if I talk to an Uber driver, it's like, oh, hey, go to Uber driver, driverdiscounts.com. It all goes back to my website. Oh, you're an Uber driver? Well, hey, I give discounts to Uber and Lyft drivers. Go to driverdiscounts.com. And I can write it down for them or whatever, but it's easy to remember.
Place that somebody can see all of your different website domains or no?
No, no. But that's one of them. Like, I got Fire Police, discounts.com.
Military, I hope.
Oh, right. Yep.
All right. And then what percentage of your customers are fresh ups versus repeat referral business?
That is, I have over 60% of repeat referral, I mean, front of my own business. And then the other 40% would be, because I got internet leads in there. I would say probably less than 10% fresh ups.
Really? Okay. Bill, we hope that helps you out. Thank you so much for the great question. Okay, now we're down to just the last handful of questions, so let's go. Kenneth wrote in, how do you copyright your logos, et cetera, all of your stuff?
It's a process. It's going to cost you about $300 each time you do it, and you have to go through the government to trademark it. So, like, the word Chevy Dude is trademarked, and if I catch somebody using it, I will pull that trademark, and you will not be using Chevy Dude anymore because that's my brand and that's what I do. On my app, where I haven't exposed this yet either, but I put it up there. On my app, it's one of the brandings that I just got this done. Buying a car doesn't have to suck. That's trademarked. I own that, and so I've been sitting here pushing social media is buying a car doesn't have to suck. Buying a car doesn't have to suck. And I saw, it's really weird. We're going to a winery in the Corvette the other day on Sunday, me and my wife, and some guy on a motorcycle was saying something I couldn't hear because I had the radio all the way up, and I turned it down. And he says, hey, you're the Chevy dude I see on YouTube and Facebook. And he says, I hope you don't make car buying suck. And I'm like, he followed. I was like, I told him thanks, and big smile on my face, and my wife says, oh my gosh, your head's going outside the car right now. But
your wife is funny. I love your wife.
I know, she's hilarious. And everybody's got to realize my wife and I are high school sweethearts. We've been dating since we were 15 years old. So we get along perfect.
You just said your daughter's graduating from high school. You do not look old enough to have a daughter graduating from high school.
Well, the reason you got to remember the reason I was at NADA only for one day because my son's 21 and is a Marine in the United States, or he's a United States Marine, and he's out in California, and I was going to celebrate his birthday, so that's the only why I was at NADA for that one day. But so my wife and I've been together for a long, long time, and so she'll hit me right in the nose and tell me that I'm doing something stupid or whatever the case may be. But now it's all about getting recognized and being able to walk into a room and knowing, you know, somebody, not having to introduce yourself. I talk to a fresh up in the lot. I give him my, I'd like, hey, what's your phone number? What's your name? I'll give you my app. And that way you can show your dad. You know, I just had it on Tuesday. Hey, what's your phone number and your name? And I'll give this to you. And you can just share this app with your dad. Now I got dad's name and phone number. And those people I do follow up with. So I know earlier I said I don't follow up with people.
Right.
Those people I have not had an opportunity to present numbers and stuff. And those people I do follow up with. But, I sent dad a text like, hey, your daughter wasn't looking at this Honda Civic. What do you think? You know, and I've been following up with him as well shared my app.
That's great. Okay, last couple of weeks, we just talked about your wife. So this is funny that Brian wrote this question in, and he says, you mentioned your wife. What is her role with helping you? Is it something that could work with my situation? And thanks so much for the webinar. That's from Brian.
Yeah, and thank you. And I never put myself, as I do a great job in these webinars, I think I can always do better. And I scare Eliana when I tell her.
You do great. Trust me.
I scare Eliana when I said, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But everybody always says I do great, and I appreciate it. But my wife comes into the dealership 2 days a week. She comes in Tuesdays and Thursdays, and she does a lot of my mailings for me. She won't talk to a customer unless they're here on the lot, so I don't have her make phone calls
or
anything like that.
She's not an employee of the dealership. Is that correct?
She is not, nope.
She's your employee.
So she comes in and sends out all my birthday cards, sends out a lot of my email follow-ups, sends out if they don't have an email address, which over 85-90% of my customers have an email address, but I have a very rigorous follow-up, which is down in the takeaway, so make sure you download it. And I do that follow-up process to a T, and my wife does it for me. And that way, that's the reason in 6 years of being at this dealership, I'm sitting at 80-plus% repeat referral, part of my own business, and less than 10% lot ups in just 6 years. So when I say that it can be done, it can be done, and I can move to a town, and it comes with experience. So it's not egotistical. It's not, you know, anything like that. It comes with experience. Experience is huge in this business. But I could move to a town of 10, 15, 16,000 people and do exactly what I'm doing, and I would smoke their top sales guy in a minute that's been there for 20 years and knows all the people locally, because I know how to close deals, and I can sit there and do the follow-up process. And that's the key. When someone says, well, traffic's down and stuff like that, you just got to work it, man. Every time you go out, introduce yourself. I'm new, I'm this, I'm that, or whatever, and work it. But that's what my wife does. She does a lot of my follow-up process and whatnot, so that way my customers are always being touched base with.
Okay. Great question. Thank you so much, Brian. Okay, last two questions. This one comes in from Steve. He says, got any top prospecting tips for us new guys? Now, it's funny that you asked this, Steve, because right before this webinar began, Mike and I were already discussing his next webinar topic, his next Dealer On webinar topic, and the one we came up with was prospecting, as a matter of fact. So you might actually see Mike Davenport do a prospecting webinar here at Dealer On in the near future. Mike, but do you have any top prospecting tips to share with Steve?
The prospecting tips, I think, are the best ones, are putting a sticker on the inside of the door and just with your name and phone number, dealership name, to sit there and say, hey, if you ever need anything, I'm right here. And I put a little one-by-one sticker on the inside of the gas cap as well, or inside the gas door as well. So every time that they go to the gas station, they see my name and number as well.
I think he's looking for how to get new. Not repeat referral business, but like new.
Okay, I got you. I consider that prospecting. Okay, so you could do a YouTube channel, Facebook. Facebook's the easiest, man. I'm telling you. You put out good content. You put out very, very good content. I put this stupid monkey up yesterday on it. It's been shared 200 and some odd times on my Facebook.
That was funny.
And it was extremely funny. But here's what they did, is they shared it, and I promise you, people tapped on my name and was like, what's Mike Davenport do? And if you can create good content to do stuff like that, you know, like right now, Chevrolet, and if I haven't done it yet, I'm going to today after this webinar. If you're a Chevrolet salesperson and you're not on there promoting 20% off on, what is it, Impala, Cruze, and Sonic, I think, is the three vehicles. If you're not doing that and showing people that this is a better deal than what you and I can personally buy this car for, you're shame on you. I bought my Camaro in December because I bought it 20% off, which is a better deal than GMS. In 17 years of being in the car business, I've never not bought a car under employee pricing. This was my first one because it was a better deal. So, and I paid our increased dock fee too. You know, we only have a $300 dock fee, and I paid $300 dock fee that I've never paid before in my life either, but it's still a better deal than what I could buy as an employee. So social media is the key, man. Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. Blow it up. Keep posting good content. Don't post, for sale stuff all the time. Post good content, post funny stories, what happened in the dealership. You know, if you got some shenanigans going on in the dealership, video record it, put it on. I put one up a couple weeks ago of me scaring the living crap out of one of my lot guys, you know, because I hit under his desk and it got shared a bunch of times, a couple thousand views and stuff like that. Just show people that you're having fun at the dealership and where you work, because you don't want them to walk in the dealership and say, oh, I didn't know you worked here.
All right, thank you so much. And all right, the last question, I gotta be honest with you, I don't know what it means, so hopefully you'll enlighten me. He says, Mike, can you show everyone the llama clothes? What is that?
Yeah, that's...
You obviously know what it is.
I do. This is Jonathan Dawson's clothes, and I've shortened it, and I kind of shared it in here, but basically when somebody asks you for your best price, and again, you always gotta be learning from somebody, you know, and there's nothing that I do that is 100% original. I get an idea from somebody, I make it grow, I grow it to my own and make it my own. So when someone sits here and says, is that your best price. You know, this one here. And I basically shorted it to work for me because I'm not a guy that can go long. And then you go and it's like, I'm honored you asked that price because nobody really is going to generally interested in my product. You know, nobody's going to ask that if you aren't generally interested in my product.
Right.
Do you mind if I ask you a question? They're going to say yes. What's the likelihood from 0 to 10 that you'd be interested in a llama today? Well, 0. I don't want no llama. Unless you're the Ford dude in Texas because he's got llamas. So would you know or would you be able to gather what the best price on a llama is today? No. And would you be interested in knowing what the best price of a llama is today? No. There you go. So I'm honored that you'd ask me for the best price because it means you're genuinely interested in my product. And by the way, this is my best price. I just need your approval right here.
Okay, so that is the llama close. Well, you heard it here, folks.
Yep.
And how often do you use the llama close?
I don't go into that detail. I just throw what I showed on there. Is this your best price? Best price gets asked all the time. It's a stupid question, really. Is this your best price? No, it's not. I got $2,000 worth of room. You know, that's never gonna happen out of a salesman's mouth. Are you kidding me?
Mike Davenport, you are one of a kind, man. Thank you so much. Honestly, I know it was 2 hours. 2 hours I've had you. It's a long, but I did not want to cut you short. This was epic. Thank you, sir. You are amazing. I cannot wait to see you at Digital Dealer. I'm going to come to your speaking sessions. By the way, audience, if you don't know, I just want to let you know, Mike Davenport is going to be presenting at the upcoming Digital Dealer Convention. It's August 8th through the 10th. Yes, go. It's awesome. It's going to be in Vegas, baby. He's going to be discussing personal branding, and then he's going to do a second session. Yes, two different sessions. He's going to do a second session alongside Amy Banner about converting Facebook fans into revenue. And for more information, go check out digitaldealer.com. Mike Davenport, thank you so much. Yes, we did record this for everyone. You have a couple minutes left, everyone. If you have not downloaded the handouts, download them now. 4 different handouts for you. Just to refresh, you have Mike Davenport's slide tech today. You also have a list of rebuttals to common objections, a list of questions that will get you closer to the sale, and Mike Davenport's complete follow-up process. Download them now, my friends. And I have this recorded for you. I'm going to be sending out the link. We would like you to please answer the 6 questions in the post-webinar survey. It's just 6 questions, but we really want to know what you thought of today's presentation. I know it was long, but I also know it was worth it. So please let us know what you thought. We'd love to see your opinions. And by the way, I am going to be emceeing the upcoming Women in Automotive Conference. It's going to be June 26th through the 28th in Orlando. And, yeah, it's not just for women, but if you work with women, if you sell to women, any of that stuff, this is the conference for you. So please take a look at womeninautomotive.com. You can also check out hashtag womeninauto16. I'd love to see you there. I'm going to be emceeing it. And I need to see some familiar faces out there, okay? And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar. It's a good one. How to crack the millennial code and sell more cars. Numbering almost 80 million, millennials are the fastest growing, most diverse generation of consumers in the U.S., and they're expected to outspend baby boomers next year. Furthermore, because they have grown up being advertised to more and with increasingly more innovative choices for products and services than ever before, millennials communicate, shop, and buy differently than any previous generation. This is why traditional sales and marketing tactics simply don't work with millennials. Most dealerships be kidding themselves to think that they're ready for the seismic marketplace shift that's going to take place in 2017. Do you know how to market and sell to millennials? During this eye-opening one-hour webinar, auto industry progressive retailing expert Corey Mosley will discuss why your marketing and sales strategies must change and how to crack that millennial code. Corey will share the real facts about millennial buyers, including specific strategies you can implement immediately to gain a competitive marketing advantage and sell more cars. Also, attendees will gain valuable insights into marketing to this financially influential generation that will lead to increased conversions and sales. Millennials, schmillennials, we got this. If you're ready to learn how to crack the millennial code and sell more cars, then you simply can't afford to miss this powerful presentation. So register now, and don't forget, DealerOn's weekly webinars are held Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. We got awesome webinar subjects planned for the rest of this year, but if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, contact me directly. My name is Eliana Raggio. I'd love to hear from you. You can find me everywhere. I'm on all the automotive social networks. I'm on Facebook, Google+. I'm not on Snapchat, apparently. I have to start doing that. But track me down anywhere online or email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in our continuing education series. Take care.